Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have, of course, today an outstanding gospel to work through, and I can't wait to get to it. But before we get to the gospel, it's come to the attention of the diocese through the bishop and as clergy that there is a deep threat to our state currently, a deep threat in the form of a nonpartisan ballot proposal, and I'm going to address it very briefly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you deserve to know what's in it. If you support gender transition surgeries for minors without parental consent, this ballot proposal is for you. If you support access to birth control for minors without parental consent, this ballot proposal is for you. If you support the legalization of abortion up to the moment of birth, this ballot proposal is for you. If you are against any of the three things I just said, the answer is no to Proposal 3. That's all I have to say. I'm scratching the surface, and in the back, the bishop has written a beautiful letter on what's contained in here, but I am scratching the surface on what that ballot proposal intends to put in our state constitution. No on three. All right, let's get to the gospel. Our gospel today, brilliant, beautiful. I'm going to start with fatherhood, a very important part of our life is fatherhood. And this depiction of fatherhood, this beautiful depiction of a father receiving a repentant son back, is a depiction of God the Father. But the perfect depiction of God the Father, the perfect image of the Father, is Jesus Christ. So in a certain way, this is the most beautiful self-portrait Jesus paints in the Gospels. Jesus is portraying himself, his own love, his own mercy, his own desire to seek and save the lost. I will say this particularly to the men in this community. You are called to share in a name that comes from God himself. You are called to be fathers, spiritual or natural. If you are called to be a natural father, you are called also to be a spiritual father. Irrespective of your secondary vocation, you, men of God, are called to be fathers. And it is incredible, it is a gift and a privilege to share in the mercy of God the Father and to model yourself on this image in our gospel today. There is a profound breakdown in the importance and the recognition of fatherhood in our society and the need for men to step up and be fathers after God's own heart. So I'll throw that out there. That's the first point. The second point is that love, that fatherly love that's depicted in that gospel today is a wild love, a crazy love. And it runs through all three parables. First, we have the lost sheep. Which one of you would leave the 99 in the desert, exposed to wolves, exposed to getting lost, and go after the one? Which one of you would do that? No shepherd in his right mind would leave the 99 to go after one, but God does. That's how much he loves you. We might ask ourselves, why would he bother over one little soul? What is that to him, to a God who's infinite and perfect and needs nothing? He loves you so much that he left you this parable to let you know that he is never leaving you alone. That no matter how far you stray from his people, he is looking for you, waiting for you to come back home. Each and every time we fall in sin, come right back to the God who saves. The lost coin. How ridiculous. To sweep the entire house immediately, looking for a lost coin. And what does the woman spend on the party she throws to have all her friends over and tell her that she's found the missing coin? Which one of you would do that? That's how much God loves repentance. That's how much the gates of mercy are open wide to each and every sinner. God longs to find sinners and save them. God's plan is not a plan for destruction. God does not create a bar for us to get over and just tells us to get up and get over the bar. No. He wants to find you and raise you up over that bar because you are created for greatness. You are created to share in that infinite love and to rejoice with God in all eternity in this mercy of the Father. This feast of repentance does not end when we die. It goes on for eternity, and we're all invited. The mentality of the father is not shared by the older brother. And the older brother, I've always sympathized with that complaint. Father, I've worked. I've done the right thing. I've tried hard. Where's the payoff? The payoff for the older son is standing right in front of him. And he doesn't recognize the gift and the privilege that it is to simply be in the presence of God the Father. What a gift we have to be in the presence of God. What a gift to know his mercy, to never leave. The older son envies the dissipation of the younger son, which brought him nothing but misery. How foolish to envy waywardness and sin that brings nothing but misery and desolation. The younger son did not find true happiness by squandering his inheritance. He found happiness in the arms of the father. And the tragedy of the older son is that he could not recognize that the gift is relationship with the Father himself. That is the end goal, is relationship for eternity. That is what satisfies our hearts. Now that mercy that the Father shows in the prodigal son. There is nothing, I repeat, nothing more insulting the younger son could have said to that father. Father, give me my inheritance. It's the equivalent of saying, I wish you were dead. Hurry up and die. I want your money. It's sick. It's as insulting a thing that could be said to a father as is humanly possible. And in that culture, it would have been repulsive to hear something like that, even in a parable. And yet, the father watches. He must have watched every day that son was gone, waiting for that younger son who could have said nothing more insulting to come back. Have you ever wished that God were dead, or that he were at the outskirts of your life and would stay away from interfering with your plans, your hopes, your dreams? God is watching that road for you, waiting, waiting to embrace you. Have you ever thrown away the good gifts God has given you? Thrown them away and felt like there was no way to get them back? And you had ruined your life by throwing away the good things God had given you? God the Father is waiting to restore you and raise you up. Have you ever followed your sins and wallowed in the shame that comes from them and sat with those pigs and longed for those pods, wanting even worse sins, longing for anything to satisfy that deep shame in the heart, anything to bury that pain? There's one who's waiting for you. There's a deeply, deeply powerful sacrament that God has left us for reconciliation. And it breaks my heart when people tell me that they confess their sins straight to God and never go to a priest. Because the gift of the sacrament of confession is that when I confess my sins honestly and sincerely in the sacrament of confession, I know that they are forgiven. And God is waiting for you there. If it's been a while, come on back. We're not sitting in there waiting to judge. We're sitting there with the Father's mercy, with those arms wide open to embrace, forgive, redeem, and restore, and send back out on mission to make you whole again. Come back to the one who makes all things new.